Next on BYUSN, it's game day eve for Cougar football as they get ready to play at Wyoming. What would an A-plus performance look like for the Cougars tomorrow night? Former BYU and NFL linebacker Brady Papinga, who is from Wyoming, helps us preview the matchup with the Cowboys.
Another former linebacker, Ben Bywater, goes one-on-one with linebacker Isaiah Glasker about his role in the current BYU defense and what he expects to happen against Wyoming. Plus, Olympic silver medalist, the steeplechaser, Kenneth Rooks, our guest celebrity picker in this week's Big 12 Pick'em. Let's go.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, September 13th. Don't get scared now. I'm Jerem Jordan in Provo. He is live from War Memorial Stadium in Laramie, Wyoming. Spencer Linton. It looks crisp there.
Indeed, Jerem. 54 degrees right now. We pulled up to War Memorial Stadium, and it was sub 50, which is a little bit different, but we are at over 7,000 feet of elevation. In fact, they have that written on the stadium just to my right. Welcome to 7,220 feet. We've got the High Altitude Performance Center in front of us. Frankly, Wyoming's done some nice things to upgrade their facility here. I was just told by their sports information director they're getting loge boxes. They're going to have a brand new press box, which will be done by next year. So hey, they're trying to ramp it up. And frankly, they might be looking for a new conference with all the craziness that happened yesterday, Jerem. But I should add this. Anytime we're in Laramie, it's only fitting that we roll out one of the greatest quotes in BYU history from the legend Lavelle Edwards, who said after a loss in the snow, quote, "I'd rather lose and live in Provo than win and live in Laramie." Oh, Lavelle.
Lavelle's one of the nicest, most respected people of all time in college football. And he just craps on Laramie in Wyoming. So it gives everyone else license to do so. We have done plenty of that this week. The hope is that BYU football does likewise on the field, which I don't know that we've ever had you like at the 50-yard line on the actual field during a show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this. We've been granted some liberties here, and the hospitality has been fantastic. But when the game kicks off, they want to kick BYU's butt, no doubt about it. But the hospitality leading up has been great.
Luckily, no bags of urine have been thrown at you quite yet like BYU previously had in Laramie before. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Deep drop for Retzloff, and he goes deep, looking for Marion in triple coverage. Makes the catch. And Jake will throw on the run. Finds Tasse 30.
Pretty cold. Outdoors, you're going to be roughing.
Any visiting team, you're really going to get a feel for what Laramie and Laramie is all about.
Joe Phillips! Touchdown!
BYU at Wyoming tomorrow. The Cougars, 10.5 point favorites, is BYU's final non-conference test before Big 12 play. Kansas State coming to town next week. Ranked number 14 in the country. Big game with Arizona tonight. More on that later. What would an A-plus performance look like for BYU football at Wyoming tomorrow night? Because we're certainly looking for BYU to capture something on the offensive side of the ball.
If we're talking about being true to the A-plus moniker, then don't give me this blue goggle stuff. We're talking about a hypothetical best-case scenario for BYU tomorrow. So I'm going to give you a few numbers, beginning with this. And this is something that BYU hasn't done in the first two games of the season, not even against Southern Illinois. Jerem, they need to run for 4 yards per carry or more. That needs to happen. I don't care that they don't have LJ Martin and Hinkley Rapati. BYU's got to figure that out. This is an opportunity to do that and to do so against a tough-minded Wyoming defense. Also, no quarterback turnovers. Jake Retzloff struggled against SMU. BYU as a team needs to be +2 in the turnover margin. Nothing from Jake. Show that he has figured some things out. Ball security. That should naturally lead to 400-plus yards of offense. And BYU's probably got to win the game by 24-plus. Again, these are A-plus numbers. I mention the 24-plus because BYU is only a 10-point favorite. So if you want to, like, excel, you probably got to beat the line by at least two more scores. And then the defense needs to hold Wyoming to 10 or fewer points. Those would be my A-plus marks. Would you modify any of mine, Jerem? And what else do you bring to the table with that?
Yeah, I think if it's A-plus, you got to go a little higher, despite LJ and Hinkley being out for this one. I go with the following. I have 5 yards per carry. If you're going to run the ball, run the ball. It's against a Wyoming team that has been fine on defense, but come on, let's go. No turnovers. Like, not just from Jake. Nobody. Zero turnovers. Plus two in margin. Defense, take it away at least twice. I mean, I need 450 yards of total offense, and I need 28-point-plus win. Something like a 35-7 would be fine. A-plus. We're talking A-plus. Like, the best-case scenario, what we think can happen, what we think BYU can do, with personnel included, A-plus. So we vary a little bit differently. I'm going a little higher. But give me this. What would a minimum passing grade, which I'm more familiar with that kind of standard, given how I did academically at BYU, what would that look like to you? I was an academic all state like you.
You should never feel bad about at least a 2.0 average. It's passing. You get through BYU, Jeremy.
I graduated.
Come on. All good. All right. Minimum grade. Okay. Minimum threshold here. BYU needs to at least maintain their 3.8 yards per carry. Once again, I'm giving them a little bit of a handicap and some leeway there because you don't have your top two running backs playing. But Miles Davis did run for 131 yards the last time he played Wyoming in Provo in 2022. So maintain that number. One or fewer quarterback turnovers. Again, giving Jake a little bit of room there. Maybe he gets aggressive. There's a deep ball down the field. He gets tipped. He gets intercepted. Whatever. Just don't have more than one. And BYU's got to outgain Wyoming total yards wise by at least 100 plus yards. Looking at the statistics, again, like you outgain them by 100, you're like, whoa, why is that minimum? Because Wyoming has been so bad. They average under 200 yards of total offense, and BYU has to cover the spread to get a minimum passing grade in the performance area. So those are mine. And frankly, I need to add one to my A plus performance. Anything that gets the Wyoming fans to leave the game early, that too is a desirable, Jeremy.
Where are they going? What are they doing? What are you talking about? What? It ain't hunt season yet, is it? I have no idea. I don't hunt. Okay, passing grade for me. I want 4 yards per carry. I still want above what the standard is. I hear you on, hey, BYU's top two running backs are out, but I also see a Wyoming team that has really struggled the last two games and lost to Idaho at home with a backup quarterback. I want 4 yards per carry. That's not asking a lot, I don't think. Even with Enoch Namahine and Miles Davis. One turnover would be okay. It's passing, you know, eh. Even turnover margin, eh, that'd be fine. 400 yards, still want 400 yards. Sorry, you got to get 400 yards against Wyoming. And then you need to win by at least 17 points, okay? 17 plus, passing, anything less than that, abject failure. Because it's not just about this game, Spence. It's about feeling like at 3-0, BYU's not going to be last year's team and that they are going to at least win four games in the Big 12 play and get to a bowl game. Because if they just pass, if they just have a passing grade and they're 3-0 like last year and they walk into conference play and, hey, 5-2, 4-1, like they still have to show us they're not last year's offense. The one performance we saw was Southern Illinois. Now, we talked about it. It was better than last year's performance against Southern Utah. We can compare that FCS to FCS. But against better competition, which Wyoming, unfortunately, is not in this case. But BYU, hey, go blow them out then. Show us you got a run game. Show us, Jake Retzlaff, you take care of the ball against FBS foes. We'll see it against P4 teams next week. I want to see it to feel like against the Kansas State team, too, who has good defense. They survived against Tulane last week, had a 60-yard scoop and score, which was the game winner, and then they picked off a pass in the end zone to survive at Tulane, who has a good offense. I want to feel like BYU's got a decent shot in that one. And if you offensively play like last week, I'm not going to feel like that against Kansas State. I'm going to feel like, well, can the defense give you a chance? Perhaps. But I don't want to see three giveaways. I don't want to see a limited run game. I want to see something. Show me something here.
If BYU wins the turnover margin by 2+, they will win this game by at least 20 points. You can mark that, take that to the bank. If they win the turnover margin by 2+, this is going to be a blowout of sorts. How much slack are we going to allow BYU because this is a rivalry game in a stadium that is going to be extremely hostile? And I was told that Wyoming only had 400 tickets remaining as of this morning. They're expecting a sellout. It's gonna be your classic rivalry game between the Cougars and the Cowboys. And there's gonna be some real animosity in this stadium. This is like a rallying cry game. That's what I was told. Like, this is, they realize this is an opportunity to try and rally the troops and get something positive going for Wyoming football. So how much slack are we going to give BYU if this game is weird? And let's say the Cougars win by 10. Like, should, because it is a rivalry game, should we freak out? Hypothetically speaking, if it turns out to be a closer than expected game, Jerem.
Yes, I think we should freak out. Here's why. BYU is a Power 4 team, Spencer, that we expect to get to at least a bowl game. If that's the case, you need to go and beat this team handily. You do. If it's close and you win, I don't complain about wins, but I will complain about margin. Because this is a team that lost to Idaho, that got blown out by Arizona State. They were down 48-0. Like, they looked terrible. They can't move the ball right now. With Jay Johnson as offensive coordinator, he's trying to get this team to move the ball. BYU's got a good defense. How about BYU defense allow 7 points or fewer, 10 points or fewer? The offense, get into the 30s. Like, show us something. If this offense is different than last year, Spence, they gotta do stuff. They gotta show it on the field. I think this is a perfect game for that. I hear you on a few elements of road game, hostile environment, rivalry. At least one-sided rivalry. Like, BYU doesn't look at Wyoming as a rival. It's a sort of rivalry. I would say it's historic. I wouldn't call it a rivalry from BYU's end. It's historic.
Sure.
But BYU needs to, no, they need to, I'm holding BYU to a certain standard, Spence. It's not a high standard. I'm not saying they're going to win the Big 12, but if you're going to go to a bowl game, you got to go in and win convincingly. I don't think I'm unfair in saying that.
No, and I think the 41-7 loss by Wyoming at Arizona State is certainly impacting. And then the Cowboys come home and they lose to an FCS foe. So, yeah, where you stand mentally and your expectations, I'm with you. When I got into the stadium and I was talking with the Wyoming Sports Information Director, Nick is a great guy, and he's telling me this has kind of been this rallying cry moment for the team. Like, They feel like this is their chance to try and get something positive moving. And so I wonder how long that will last before teams settle into the game. And then it's just about the game, and it's not about emotion. But I stand by what I said earlier. If BYU can take care of the ball and they win the turnover margin, this game will not be close. If BYU turns the ball over, it will be weird, and there will be a collective freakout by us in Studio B on Monday.
If you think the Wyoming defense is causing turnovers against BYU, just wait for Kansas State, okay? Just wait for the Big 12. Can't have it. Can't have it. Okay, speaking of, why are you playing this road G5 game? If BYU beats Wyoming tomorrow night, who has the more impressive 3-0 start, BYU or 3-0 Arizona State, who beat Texas State in a close one last night, 31-28?
Ooh. That's a fun question, because Arizona State has in many ways shocked a lot of people. Arizona State has an SEC win. I know Mississippi State is not great, but still, they have a win over an SEC opponent, and they have a tough road win against a Texas State team that very well could win the Sun Belt and be in the top 25 at some point. It's going to take something spectacular from BYU in Wyoming tomorrow night to even be in the conversation. Like, BYU would have to win this game probably by 30-plus, tack that onto a tough road win against SMU and a nice performance against a good FCS team, and now we've got a real conversation. But if BYU wins this game close tomorrow, hands down, Arizona State has the more impressive resume. Now, if BYU destroys Wyoming, then maybe it's a closer conversation. But right now, it feels like it's Arizona State. How do you see it?
Well, we'll be able to compare because they will have both played Wyoming. I know that one was, Sparky hosted Wyoming there and won 48-7. Mississippi State, by the way, that game gets close, but Arizona State was up 30-3. That was well out of hand. And Texas State, watched last night. So can BYU put on an impressive performance? And then we go, hey, BYU's probably better. I don't know. This is just a fun sports topic, right, for a show like this. Because BYU doesn't play Arizona State until November 23rd. But that's okay. We're getting excited about that game and those 3-0 starts. Arizona State certainly surprising. Cam Scataboo. This dude is a tough runner, by the way. Limited last night to 62 yards. Did have 2 touchdowns. Dallin Leavitt, remember him? His brother Sam's the quarterback. Michigan State transfer, Arizona State. Also, Trayson Borgay's brother is a backup quarterback at Arizona State. Not to mention, one of the Romneys, Tate Romney's there. So, yeah, there's a bunch of connections. It's going to be fun.
Jeremy, let's push pause on football for just a moment for our next question as we go to BYU women's volleyball, who played another five-set thriller last night against San Diego and lost in the fifth set 16-14. So heartbreaker, kind of like the same feeling BYU had when they lost a tough match against Georgia Tech. But they do have an opportunity tonight against 12th-ranked Oregon. So would a win over the Ducks make up for last night's loss to San Diego and hopefully keep BYU in the top 18 and keep that streak alive?
That streak is at 161 straight pulls. It's over 10 years long. BYU has to beat Oregon to stay in the top 18. It's tough because it's a very young group. You're starting four freshmen. You've been up 2-1 and gone to 5 and lost by 2 the last two matches against one ranked team in Georgia Tech. San Diego, that was tough. They were 1-4, Spence. This isn't the team that 2 years ago went to the Final Four. Matty Allen's still on the squad, by the way, with San Diego, who used to play for BYU. So, yeah, you need to beat Oregon tonight. You do.
Absolutely. If for BYU to probably stay in the top 20, you got to beat Oregon tonight. I think regardless, the streak of 161 straight weeks in the top 18 is probably over, even with a win against Oregon, because San Diego is not a world beater and BYU has come off back-to-back losses. So I hope they beat Oregon. I hope they gain some confidence and would love to see them just to stay inside the top 20.
Our question today is this. What would be an A-plus performance? What would that look like for BYU football at Wyoming tomorrow night at G. Hansen 25 on X? Holding them to 10 points or less and the offense without any turnovers. I feel the exact same way. Like 7 would be ideal. Well, 0 is ideal, obviously. But 7, 10, I'd take 10. 10 points or fewer. That's exactly what Wyoming averages right now. They scored 7 at Arizona State. They scored 13 at home against Idaho. You don't want to give up more to BYU than Idaho did, 13. So how about 10? How about 7? At McGarry, 15 on X. An A-plus game is a clean and dominant game. You score over 40, hold them under 10, and have no turnovers. Limit their offensive production and creating turnovers. I like that. I think we all agree that, like, margin and yards are going to be what we're looking at in this one, in addition to the score, of course.
Yes. Would a 31-10 game, that just comes to mind as I'm listening to these responses, would that be enough? Would a 31-10 road win
I want
be
more,
enough?
But probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Let's play the game. Let's go. Let's do this.
I know. We still got a day and a half, though. You got a long time. I don't even know what's going to happen there. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Tomorrow, BYU at Wyoming, as mentioned, pregame coverage starting at 7 Eastern. BYU Sports Nation game day with Spence live from Laramie on BYU TV. Cougar pregame live at 7 Eastern on BYU Radio. The game is BYU versus Wyoming, 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Network and BYU Radio. Up next, Wyoming native and former BYU and NFL player Brady Papinga previews the game tomorrow. What's it like for a native of Wyoming to play for BYU against the Cowboys? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Fans to leave the stadium early.
I want to see what we saw week one.
Block the right guy, secure the football, make sound decisions, know when you have to take a risk and when you don't and when you should, and limit penalties.
Oh, it's game day Eve. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation from Provo and Laramie. Didn't think we'd say that too often, but here we are. Jerem Jordan, Spencer Linton. The perfect guest for this week is someone who is from Wyoming, but played at BYU, and we've got him. Brady Papinga, former BYU Cougar, native of Evanston, Wyoming, and NFL linebacker, defensive end as well. Brady Papinga's on the show. Brady, what up, dog? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? Always good to join you guys. And yeah, what a great week with BYU facing Wyoming. You know, when you grow up in Wyoming and BYU faces Wyoming, you always are hearing the detractors. There's a lot of smack talking going on. And fortunately, for the most part, we've always got the best of that matchup. So, but yeah, it'll be a fun game this weekend. I know Wyoming isn't coming to play very good football, but that doesn't seem to matter in these kind of games.
Brady, how would you explain the rivalry, having grown up in Wyoming and you having a different perspective on it, for those that aren't familiar with what BYU-Wyoming actually means?
Well, you know, Wyoming is a place that you could say has a lot of rough, tough, tumbling people that live there. You have to. It's a climate that's not very desirable. It's uncomfortable. It's always cold. Even when it's like 80 degrees in the summer, there's still a tinge of some kind of cold. Like it's still winter. It's kind of fascinating. So when you have that, and then from Wyoming to, let's say, a Utah perspective, Salt Lake, Provo, there's a perception that those people that live in Utah, and I say those people because that's kind of how it's categorized, are a little preppy. You know, they're a little bit comfortable. They're a little entitled. They come up with their, you know, their nice little clothes. Their hair's combed all pretty. And it's kind of like we want to show these, you know, these preppies what it's about to come into a rough, tumbling place. And so I would say that's where the rivalry really is. It's kind of a, from a sense of just rough and country to more refined kind of city folk. Although, you know, Utah County, Salt Lake really isn't like a huge metropolis, but relative to a state that has like 500,000 people in Wyoming, it's a huge metropolis. So I'd say that's the kind of perception. And then the fact that they're in the WAC for so many years and, you know, then the Mountain West Conference, there's just always been this hate for BYU, and BYU just is naturally one of the most hated teams throughout the country. So you add all that up together, and it just creates for Wyoming this extra sense of motivation to come out and compete with a real edge. And that's why, like, what you've seen in Wyoming so far this year, they got blasted by Arizona State. They got upset by Idaho last week. Will not be the same Idaho team that faces BYU tomorrow night. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, they're going to bring it, and there's a lot of history, as you mentioned. BYU's first win ever was against Wyoming in 1922. They played them twice that year, interesting enough. The WAC title game in 96. You talk about the history of being in the same league for a long time. So it's pretty – Josh Allen's last game was against BYU in the Poinsettia Bowl. There's a lot of history there. Okay, for this matchup this year, you talked about the Wyoming side of it. You expect Wyoming to play way better. BYU coming into this game, defense was awesome. Offense was not against SMU, 2-0. Yet, BYU's top two running backs are out. Jake Retzlaff trying to take care of the ball. This one feels like an important game for both sides, Brady.
Oh, it's huge. Now, and this is the message I sent to the players, you know, because I've been involved with, especially the defensive side of the ball, a lot of the you could say, kind of assistant coaching for my brother Kelly, whenever I can. It's not like an official role or, you know, I'm not there as much as like a real coach, but I try to do as much as I can. And my message to the guys this last week was simply, the reality is when you're finally in a true playoff system league, which now college football has gotten to that point, it's all about how fast you can improve throughout the season, because the teams that improve the fastest will end up being the teams that are playing the best and have the most likelihood of getting into the playoffs and making a run. So I told them, don't look at this like you're facing Wyoming. Look at this from a macro perspective that you're competing against every other team out there of who can improve week in and week out at the fastest rate, and that they've already started off very well, and that they got to continue to stack weeks after weeks after weeks. And one little lapse is going to put them behind everybody else in terms of progression and improvement, which hurts their chances of really making a run at the end of the year. And so that's what you have to have in terms of mentality. Because like I said, if you're going to go off of the film and you're going to be like, okay, I'm facing this guy or that guy from Wyoming, you naturally are going to have a tendency to think that you're just going to walk into this game and dominate these guys. These guys have not shown well on film at all. I'm talking, they're the worst team BYU's faced on their schedule. But if you go in with that kind of mentality, and there's my wife in the background, by the way.
Hi.
Say hi. 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 Well, it's this side, actually. Oh, wait. Shoot, that's like backwards. Anyway, so point is you got to have a mentality of progression and improvement in spite of who you're playing. And you can't get caught up with who you're playing, especially this week, because they literally on film from the past are not looking good. But that shouldn't be any factor in how BYU prepares and how they're ultimately approaching this game, because the team they're facing is not going to look anything like they saw on film first. And then there's bigger goals for them to have. And in order for them to attain those goals, they have to go in with a mentality where they're just looking to get as improved, as far along in their progression, as fast as they can. And this is a week to do that.
Former BYU and NFL linebacker Brady Papinga is on BYU Sports Nation. And Brady, statistically speaking, what would an A-plus performance from BYU look like? Have you circled some specific numbers in the final score, a margin of victory? What type of things are you looking for if we're going to call this an A-plus?
I'm not looking at the scoreboard because, like I said, Wyoming is going to be very different. It's a very small community. It's a very different culture. There could be a culture shock for some of these guys coming in from Provo. Like I said, Wyoming tends to play better. So the scoreboard, I don't think, is going to be a very big indicator. It could be. And scoreboards, a lot of times, not exactly the indication of what actually happened between the lines during the kickoff to the end of the game. But to me, what I want to see is a continuation of defensively playing extremely physically, playing with a frenzied mentality, but playing within the scheme to where they are playing clean football. That's what you saw against SMU, is outside of a couple of plays where they didn't get to curl the flat very well, and that was pretty much it. Two plays. I think it was 70 plays. They were tight, meaning SMU to have to move the ball, have to do anything, had to be earned. Like, you had to break tackles. You had to win in a 50-50 situation if you're a receiver. If you're a quarterback, you were going to have to avoid the pressure and somehow find a receiver and throw him open. That's hard football, especially in college. And so they have to continue on that path. And the way you do that is you play the same approach they have in these last few weeks, including the first game of the year, but you got to stay clean in your assignments. You got to be so clean that the only way the offense moves the ball is they have to earn it, because the reality is offensive football, when it's played well, will always defeat and be superior to great defensive football. That's just the nature of the game today. But having said that, if they can handle that and be assignment sound, they will choke out this offense. They'll choke out most offenses. And all that means is you just give them no air to be able to make any kind of progress or get any rhythm, because an offense is a rhythmic-based operation. On the offensive side of the ball, we all know what they have to do. This is not hard. It starts with the quarterback. He's got to be the guy. I've seen Red Slap for them. I've seen every single one of his snaps in spring. I've seen every one of his snaps in the fall camp. I've seen every one of his snaps this week in practice. I see what I see. This guy can throw the ball as good as anybody that you can imagine playing quarterback, okay? That's not the problem with this guy. Plus, he's a very big-time ultimate competitor. And I think that sometimes leads to him being reckless with the football, because he thinks, as a competitor, I never want to concede. I never want to take a sack. I never want to throw the ball in the dirt on the screen pass. And I'm not sure if, you know, it's a clean throw or not. Oh, I don't want to go down without stretching my arm out and maybe losing ball security. He's got to fix that mentality and be the opposite, which is, if I want to win, I got to live for another day. If I want to win, I got to put my offense and defense in a good position. If I want to win, I can't turn the ball over recklessly. Now, if he's going to be throwing the ball in a tight coverage and on an anticipatory route and it gets picked off, or the ball gets tipped up or whatever, it gets picked off, we can live with that. But it's all with him. He's the guy, and he can make it happen. I've seen enough of him to where I'm with Kalani and I'm with Aaron, and this guy can lead BYU to big-time things, but he has to change his mindset of this ultimate competitor of thinking he can never take a sack, he can never go down, and change that to say, no, those are actually good plays when you compare them to the alternative of turning the ball over. And if he can get there mentally where he can understand the situation and play to the situation, there's, man, it's going to be exciting. I'll put it that way.
BYU turned it over three times at SMU. First win in 5 years when BYU turned the ball over three times or more, because that defense was awesome.
The defense. Yeah.
Okay, do you have any great playing in Laramie, Wyoming stories? We've heard crazy stories. Guys, they know they need to come out with their helmets on when they walk out of the locker room. Anything come to mind as a native Wyoming
yes.
guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, when we were playing there, it was my junior year, I kept prepping our team saying, look, because at that time we stayed at this drive-in, which was a hotel, which is called Foster's Drive-In. And you got to understand, growing up in Wyoming, Laramie was in my same sports conference in high school. So I traveled to Laramie, I don't know how many times, to play basketball, to play football, track. So I'm very familiar with this Foster's Drive-In. And so I kept telling my teammates, look, we're going to go stay at maybe the most dumpiest podunk hotel you can imagine. So get your minds right. It's not going to be this posh, you know, Marriott down on, you know, where we stay at San Diego. I forget the name of that place, but it's like really it's like a posh 5-star hotel, you know. I was like, no, this is really going to be rough. So sure enough, we land. I think we flew into Cheyenne. We drive to the game, you know, through the desolate plains there of eastern Wyoming. We get to, to Laramie. And we get to the Foster's drive-in, and you hear the bus gasp. Oh, no, we're not staying here. And I turn to him. I go, I've been telling you this the whole time. And Manaya Brown, I don't know if you guys remember him, but he was our defensive lineman. And he just looked at me. He's like, but Brady, I didn't imagine it being this bad. And so I'm not sure if that affected the psyche of the team, but you know, Wyoming upset us. They beat us 13-10. Talk about an abysmal offensive performance. But that was one of those where culture, in terms of the community and in terms of where you're going, does play a role in like your mentality. And that's one thing these guys need to understand. Like, they are going into a very rough place to play. And that's how Wyoming likes it. You know, and that's why, by the way, I think college football at large does not – P4 programs do not like to go to Laramie or can avoid at all costs. The fact that Tom kept this game on the schedule speaks a lot. I mean, it shows that, he keeps his contracts, obviously, but it also shows that they're willing to play a little fire, you know, because this is a perfect game for Wyoming to really catch BYU off guard and to kind of get BYU coming in with the mentality that they're trying to just get out of this game with the minimal amount of damage possible, which could lead to them not playing very well. So this Wyoming team cannot be underestimated. There are a lot of things working against them when they play against Wyoming.
I'm happy to report BYU is not staying at Foster's Inn. So they are staying in Cheyenne, Brady, at a more reasonable hotel. Now, I want to finish with this. How would you explain to you BYU fans your relationship with your brother Kelly, not just as brothers, but as also, in a way, now fellow coaches, as you've been an analyst and helping out with BYU in that way, too?
Yeah, you know, it was, you know, it took place last year when my son passed away. It was very, you know, heart-wrenching, obviously, for all of us. And one of the big things that really hurt me was that the legacy of being able to pass on my football knowledge was my youngest son. Or it was my son. When he passed on, I was like, I can't go to the next life. I can't pass through the veil without sharing, you know, my legacy. So I told Kelly, because, you know, I used to always give Kelly little bits of advice or not advice, but just because Kelly knows his stuff. Just more just like little suggestions here and there. And whether he liked it or not, I'm not sure. And so I just asked him, I said, is it okay if, you know, I kind of just share with you some things that I see. And he was very excited about it. And we sat down and we had a film session and, you know, and then he talked to Kalani and then Kalani said, hey, whenever Brady wants to come out and participate, however he wants, you know, he can do that. And so Kalani is basically giving me full access to what I'm there. If I want to jump into any meeting, if I want to, you know, be with the players or just do whatever, just to be around the guys and to pass on my football knowledge, they're letting me do that, which has been amazing. And so what I've noticed is that, you know, when you have coaches like Kelly, for example, he coaches special teams in addition to coaching the edge guys, that there's an opportunity there to bring not only a experiential perspective since I played the position, but also some more technical things that, you know, so hard for Kelly to hit on each individual guy technically. So he's passed along their numbers to me and he's given me access to their, like I said, to their practice film. And I will go down and for each player that I see necessary, I'll do videos and I'll break down certain things that they can work on or certain things that they've really improved on. And then when I go there, we'll actually work those. And so it's a really cool thing to see, you know, Tyler Batty, to see Ephraim, to see Isaiah, Logan, you know, all those guys, they're starting to really understand the art of pass rushing and the art of playing the edge position. And I think that's, you know, helped everybody. And so to know that I have a little bit of you know, because Kelly's done 95% of it, 97%, maybe 99%, I don't know. He's done all of the work except for a small portion where I've come in, but it's nice to see them, you know, take what I've been bringing and then it's helping them, which they find to be kind of like, you know, wow, this is validating. I'm going to keep listening to this guy. He's just not coming here to just pass the time away. He's coming here to contribute. And it feels good to have some contribution. And I am, you know, really grateful for Kalani and Kelly allowing me to have that role with the team, as it's been really very, it's been good for me coping wise. And then it's, like I said, a way for me to contribute to give and pass along the football knowledge that I gained over the years.
That's amazing that it can be helpful in any way for you. And obviously, it's helpful for these players to have your insight. I saw you in the box at the Southern Illinois game, and I thought, that's pretty cool that Brady's here.
I wasn't in the box.
You were outside the box, but you were nearby and available should they need any insight, which was awesome. So
that's
awesome. We look forward to hopefully seeing you at more games, and thanks for the insight, Brady.
Always a pleasure, guys, and I'll be back. Don't you worry.
Brady Papenga on BYU Sports Nation. The perfect guest. And it's cool that, he can be near the team in some way to be helpful. You know, he's not an official staffer, but might as well be unofficially, which is pretty cool. And that helps him in any way with the loss of his son. That's really moving and awesome that he can be a part of the BYU football family. If you miss any of BYU Sports Nation's documentary series, Big Stories, featuring stories of hope, integrity, perseverance from all Big 12 schools and beyond, you can always find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel and on BYUSN.com. Coming up, today's On This Date in Cougar Football History features a 59-0 win. That was a fun one. A first career Golden Knights BYU women's soccer as well. Its first Big 12 win this season. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation from Studio B in Provo, Utah, and War Memorial Stadium in Laramie. Jerem Jordan, Spencer Linton with you. In honor of 100 seasons of Cougar football, we always like to recognize the On This Date in Cougar football. So what do we have today, Spence?
All right, Jerem, let's roll out September 13, 2008 specifically. Number 18 BYU welcoming the UCLA Bruins into the Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Max Halter, 6 first half touchdown passes, 2 to Austin Colley, 2 to Dennis Pitta. Michael Reed and Harvey Unga each caught one as well. It was 42-0 at halftime, and it wasn't over then.
It was very rude to Norm Chow, who was the OC of UCLA. Norm, one of the BYU greats. It was awesome, man. Just touchdowns for days, as you mentioned. Harvey Unga's second touchdown catch was Max Hall's 7th touchdown of the game, tying a single-game record. My boy Wayne Lotu added a rushing touchdown. There was a field goal in there for no good reason. BYU won 59-0 over Rick Neuheisel and the Bruins. That was the biggest butt-kicking maybe in over a decent team, a power team in BYU football history. That was a lot of fun. Let's get to today's headlines.
Jerem, that amazing 59-0 win was followed by a 44-0 drubbing of Wyoming the next week. Huh? Okay, BYU football plays at Wyoming tomorrow night. Cougars trying to get to 3-0 for a second straight season and fourth time in the past 5 seasons. The Cougars a 10.5-point favorite. Pregame coverage tomorrow night, 7 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Game kicks off at 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Network and BYU Radio.
Cougars in the NFL. Fred Warner and the Niners travel to Minnesota. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams and the Saints play the Cowboys. Kyle Van Noy, who has that orbital fracture, he's out for a bit, and the Ravens host the Raiders. Ryan Rico and the Bengals play Kingsley Suamatia, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs.
More Cougars in the NFL. Zach Wilson and the Broncos host the Steelers. Blake Freeland and the Colts travel to Green Bay to take on Zane Anderson and the Green Bay Packers. Kyrus Tonga and the Cardinals will face the Rams. Reminder, Puka Nacua currently on injured reserve and is out at least 4 games. Michael Davis and the Washington Commanders play the New York Football Giants.
Women's soccer won its Big 12 home opener against Arizona State thanks to Avery Frischneck's first career goal.
A sky corner. And the back of the net, the Cougs have opened the scoring in the 43rd minute.
BYU now 3-3-2, 1-0 in the Big 12. Up next, a road game at TCU next Thursday.
Number 17 BYU women's volleyball lost in 5 sets at San Diego last night. Claire Little and Alex Bauer each posting double-doubles for the Cougars, who led 2-1 but were unable to close out the Toreros. BYU back in action tonight when they take on 12th-ranked Oregon.
Number 2 BYU men, number 6 women's cross country competed this morning in the annual Autumn Classic at the Lakeside Sports Complex in Orem. The women's team won. Jenna Hutchins won the individual title, and the men's team won with Casey Klinger back off a redshirt injured year, winning the individual title as well.
Good luck to BYU men's tennis, who opened their season today in the Boise State Invitational.
And Mike Weir and Zach Blair playing in the Pro Core Championship in Napa, California this weekend. Best of luck to them. Weir shot 3 under yesterday, tied for 22nd. Blair shot 2 under, was tied for 37. Coming up, former linebacker Ben Bywater takes off the pads and dons the microphone as he goes one-on-one with linebacker Isaiah Glasker about his performance last week and a look ahead to this week. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation live from Studio B. We'll check in with Spencer in the next segment. Well, Isaiah Glasker is a playmaker on this BYU defense. He takes over for another playmaker in his own right, Ben Bywater, who talked to Glasker earlier this week at practice.
What's up, Cougar Nation? This is Ben Bywater. I am here with BYU Sports Nation. Excited because today I'm interviewing the one and only Isaiah Glasker. Isaiah, last week, big sack. Walk me through kind of how that is. I know getting sacks isn't easy, and you had a beautiful one. So walk us through that one.
Well, honestly, I didn't think like I was going to get a sack. I was just going into the game looking to maybe get a few tackles and stuff like that. And then they had some good calls from our coaches. And then, I don't know, I just had to make a play. And thanks to the front seven and my other backer, Jack Kelly, I went and got the sack. So all props to those boys right there. So
I want to coach up the celebration, okay? Was good. Love the flex. My guys diced up. We were seeing the striations in the shoulders, in the arms. It looked great. Are you expecting that week in and week out, the same celebration? Do you have something planned for this weekend? Do we need to get on TikTok, practice some dances? I'm curious.
Well, honestly, hey, I'm just trying to be like you. You know what I'm saying? You, you know, you got the best Ellies. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially like getting sacks and stuff last year. It's like I'd be watching the highlights. And I'm like, dang, you kind of put me on right there. So,
hey, that means the world. That means the world for a little white boy like me from the state of Utah. It's that means the world.
Bywater feeling himself a little bit. Okay.
If you guys don't know, I have been on this guy's bandwagon from the start. Absolute specimen. I'm so excited. You got thrust into a starting role this year. Walk us through, was it an emotional experience? I saw it coming from the start. And so I want to know from you, how has that been? Starting, has there been a lot of pressure? Has it been easier than you thought? I want to know.
I'm going to be real. Honestly, like, it's like starting your first high school football game. Like, the tension is rising and stuff like that. You're getting ready to go on the field. You're sweating, nervous, and usually it just takes the first drive and you kind of get used to it. I'm going to be honest, like, my first, let's see, like, before the game, last game, I'm going to be honest, I threw up maybe one time because I was so nervous, but I don't know. After the first drive, it felt good, just like practice, I would say. So,
in an ideal world for Isaiah Glasker this weekend, give me your stat line.
Hopefully another sack. Me, I just said, like, I want to pick six, honestly. Like, yeah, no, I'll pick six for sure. That's what I want. But hopefully get a few tackles.
How many tackles?
I'm saying like six at minimum, hopefully. So.
Okay, so you said this weekend in an ideal world, it's a pick six for number 16 to the house. For me, you know, I will say, you know, that's probably the best moment of my entire life. You know, my athletic career, I'm not that athletic. Your boy, even, you know, a blind squirrel finds an acorn here and there. That's what happened for me. So for you, walk us through, is there a play that you think you can get a pick six on this weekend?
Honestly, just, I don't know, say I'm guarding the tight end, he runs like a little post or something. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I can jump that, maybe take it to the crib, so we'll see.
And Wyoming, a lot of big boys up there, some hard-nosed, blue-collar boys. Are we eating a little bit more protein this week, trying to defend the run? We trying to lean up, trying to defend the pass? Walk us through what you're thinking.
Trying to bulk up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Most of my family is actually from Wyoming, so right now, I'm just preparing to see all them, mostly just because, you know, they're going to be in the Wyoming section cheering and stuff. But you know, I'd probably say just bulking up, getting ready for the run, mostly. But
you heard it here. Zay, we're not even worried about the team. We're just worried about our family in the stands. You heard it. Isaiah Glasker, BYU Sports Nation. Love you, kid. So proud of you. Keep going.
Ben Bywater with the mic. Well done. Yeah, the connection with Isaiah Glasker and his family is going to be fun to watch. They're rooting for Wyoming. They got Isaiah Glasker out there. Come on now, let's go. BYU at Wyoming coming up tomorrow night. Pre-game on BYU TV and BYU Radio at 7 Eastern time. Coming up, how about a silver medalist is going to join us? Kenneth Rooks has won national championships, the silver medal at the Paris Olympics in the steeplechase. But can he beat us in Big 12 Pick'em? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day is this. What would an A-plus performance look like for BYU football at Wyoming tomorrow night? Today's Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated. Rex Culp on Instagram. 200 yards rushing, no turnovers, and allowing no touchdowns. Now that would be an A-plus performance. I like it. Today's Rise and Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. How about this? Earlier this morning, we got this picture from Brandon Despain, who works in the athletic department, one of our homies, longtime homie. His brother, Jason, this is from Sinai, Egypt. The Despains are from Wyoming, so he's got the Wyoming State flag repping and the BYU Sailor Kook flag. This is from Sinai, Egypt. The world is our campus, Spence.
Hike the pyramids and post the BYU flag on top of the pyramids next. Let's go.
That's awesome. Very cool. Thanks for that from Jason Despain. Okay, it's time now for Big 12 Pick'em, where we take a look at how our guest pickers have done the last 2 weeks. Week one, Jonathan Tavernari, 3-3, so 500. Kevin Young beat him, 4-3, a little above 500. We now welcome to the program this week's guest picker. He is the steeplechase Olympic silver medalist from the United States. He is our boy, Kenneth Rooks is on the show. Kenneth, what up, dog? How you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're excited about BYU and Wyoming. Thanks for joining the show. Is the silver medal on you? Is it nearby? Like, where is the silver medal?
Yeah, I got it here.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up. Got to keep it by. That's awesome, dude. It looks great. Okay, this game is not too difficult. That looks awesome. That's great. Congrats, man. Still awesome.
Hey, thank you.
Still motivating. Okay, this game's pretty simple. We have 7 games. We all give a pick. We'll keep track. We'll find out Monday how we did. Number 20, Arizona, playing at number 14, Kansas State tonight. Another weird Big 12 on Big 12 non-conference game. Kenneth, who you got between Arizona and Kansas State?
I think I'm going with Kansas State. Arizona's got a really good offense, but I think that their defense is their weakness right now. I think Kansas State is going to take advantage of that.
Okay, Spence.
I'm with Kenneth. I'm not going against the silver medalist, Jerem, especially not when he's wearing it. I'm going to ride that Kansas State mojo. I'm taking the Wildcats in Manhattan as a 7-point favorite. They're going to win that game.
Kansas State as well for me. 2 fourth quarter takeaways to win at Tulane last week. That was wild. Okay, next game, the backyard brawl, they call it. West Virginia at Pitt. Mountaineers a 2-point favorite. Kenneth, who do you have?
I'm going with West Virginia. I know that this is a home game for Pitt and it's a rivalry matchup, but I think West Virginia is going to win.
Yes, sir. Neil Brown and the Mountaineers, they're going to take care of business in a rivalry game that not a lot of people pay attention to, but it's pretty mean between those two. I think Neil Brown and West Virginia get it done.
West Virginia as well. C.J. Donaldson, the running back for West Virginia, gets it going again this week. Okay, Colorado at Colorado State.
I'm going with Colorado on this one. I think that they're the better team right now.
I'm going with the underdog here, Jerem. So in true Kenneth Rooks fashion, who was a bit of an underdog in the Olympics himself, I think the Rams at home, they've been stewing on a really tough loss to Colorado last year. The Rams are going to get it done as an underdog in Fort Collins.
Colorado State as well, we got to pick up the pace. UCF at TCU.
TCU.
I'm going to go UCF as a 1-point favorite. Yeah, give me the Golden Knights.
UCF, 1,419 yards per game rushing. They're amazing. UCF's going to win. Air Force at Baylor.
I'm going with Baylor on this one.
Baylor is a heavy favorite. I'm with Kenneth. The Bears, they're going to win big.
The boys from Waco win again. Okay, Utah at Utah State.
I'm going with Utah on this one.
Kenneth is a wise man. Yes, Utah will figure it out even if Cam Rising is not playing. They'll win in Logan.
I want Utah State to win, but I'm picking Utah. And last but not least, BYU at Wyoming. How many points does BYU win by, Kenneth?
Ooh, I think that BYU is going to win. I think they're going to win by 10. I think they're going to win by 10. But BYU should be the one who wins here. BYU is better than Wyoming right now.
Kenneth likes the spread. I'm Cougs by a million, Jerem.
Yeah, 17 plus. Kenneth, thanks for the time and thanks for wearing the silver medal. We appreciate you, brother.
Awesome. Thanks.
Brady Papenga, Isaiah Glasker, and that man, Kenneth Rooks, joined the program. The conversation continues online. Sorry to Dennis. We ran out of time. For Spencer, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Josh Rohatinsky. We'll see you tomorrow for pregame coverage. BYU at Wyoming, starting at 7 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Go Cougs!